Just Curious.
Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is That's a Crime. I'm Jason Connell.
And I'm Sal Rodriguez.
All right, Sal, we are back with another crime.
I feel like it's been too long, but it is nice to be too long.
It hasn't been that long, Sal.
It feels like
last week we did a crime, but you want to be doing crime on a daily basis. And unfortunately, Sal, there are crimes on a daily basis.
I wouldn't mind doing crimes more often, only because the reservoir is just never ending.
Yeah, we're never going to catch up. Never. This is an interesting crime today. Not on the lighter side, definitely on the heavier side,
sure.
Because we cover everything from a misdemeanor to a murder, and this is on the darker spectrum of that.
Yeah, the murder side.
The murder side, yeah. Because today we are breaking down the true crime story of the patient stalks and fatally shoots surgeon in 2023.
Very scary. Who is safe?
Very scary.
Where is safe?
Exactly. You have a patient stalking and shooting and killing their surgeon. Like, yeah, this is bad. But, you know, not every crime is easy. You flex different muscles. I think if we're covering a crime, we owe it to the crime to give the facts respectfully to those impacted. And not everything's lighter. And I'm up for the challenge. And this one was interesting. It catches my eye. And here we go. I know you've read it. I know you're familiar, but are you ready to delve into this crime?
I am ready.
You sure?
I think so.
Okay. So on July 11th, 2023, 43-year-old Dr. Benjamin Mock, a Tennessee hand surgeon, was fatally shot in his examination room in what police have described as a targeted attack. Creepy, Sal. Already kind of scary. You're not even safe in your own examination room doing an exam, I presume.
No. And it's sad because everywhere you go, security seems heightened. Metal detectors everywhere. Mm-hmm. Now in schools, metal detectors. And yep. Unfortunately, like, yeah, a doctor's exam room, you wouldn't think something's going to happen there. But yeah.
And how does someone get through there?
Well, I would imagine that he would have to have been probably a patient existing.
Yeah, let him through. Yeah, he's here to talk to the doctor. He's tied up right now, but here comes someone who is stalking someone.
Well, you know what,
and
just
if they're stalking them, go on.
You can't just see a surgeon. You have to be referred. So
exactly.
Yeah, by the time you're seeing a surgeon, you'd already been through a couple of avenues mm-hmm. ahead of that.
Right, right. That's true. They're familiar with the staff, unless you're stalking them. And Sal, we've talked about this before. Unless you have an armed guard, and hospitals may or may not, in the movies, they always get around those armed guards. But if someone's out to get somebody, it's hard to protect that person from this evil being.
Jason, I think if we've learned anything after all these episodes and just by living in our world today, if someone wants to perpetrate an act of evil, there is almost no way of stopping them if they're that determined.
Mm-hmm. That's the scary part. Case in point here, the suspect and patient, 29-year-old Larry Pickens, was apprehended at the scene by police. Now, the motive for the attack is unclear, but we do know Larry was a patient. But a witness claimed that the shooter had threatened a clinic staffer over the course of a week. So I don't know, you know, the origins of this. Was it surgery gone wrong? Not sure. They're threatening a staffer. Don't know what's happening here. Now, police believe that the attacker waited for several hours before shooting Dr. Mock and fleeing the clinic. So, wait, waited several hours outside, contemplating this, you know, what was about to happen, this assault, this deadly assault. Yeah, very scary, Sal. It really is. And I've been to enough of these. I don't go to the hospital very often, rarely, but sometimes I've gone to like a specialist sports thing. I had a knee surgery years ago. And yeah, you're at like some other like smaller facility to go in there and meet your doctor.
Yeah.
There's zero security in that.
Sure.
And my surgeon's right there. Yeah, I have to have an appointment, but no one's thinking you're coming in there. There's no real threat. If there's a lock on the door, it's always unlocked. So yeah, these doctors aren't safe. And if there was this clinic staff are being threatened, I would think that would put this on another level, like high alert. You would hope and think that would happen, but not enough to deter, you know, Larry Pickens from entering with a gun and shooting Dr. Mock.
Jason, I learned this a long time ago. I remember I was very young, possibly in my early 20s, and I was visiting a friend at the hospital. And I went to the hospital, went in the elevator, went to the floor, and I remember thinking—
Nobody asked anything.
Yeah. I was like, I could be a psycho. Just walk right into all these vulnerable people here. Anybody could have walked in. So yeah, I would be hard-pressed to believe that almost any medical facility, whether a specialized physician here or just your average hospital, they're not safe places, Jason.
No, and obviously Larry's a very troubled person, because even if you're at this point and you're a patient of a surgeon, what is this going to prove? You're that mad, take their life. It wasn't one of these murder-suicide situations. It was a murder and a fleeing. You're going to be on camera, and they probably were outside. Larry could have been outside for several hours thinking, you know, maybe he's that distraught, troubled, as I said. More about Dr. Mock. He was a highly regarded surgeon specializing in elbow, hand, and wrist surgery. He had a 4.9 rating with patients and was recently named on Memphis Magazine's 2023 top doctor list just 5 days before his death, Sal.
It's always the good people, Jason. It's always the good people. It's always the valedictorian who's killed by a drunk driver.
Right.
It's always the good ones.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of information here on Larry. It was just, these are those cautionary tales that always just hurt, scary, safeguard against this type of thing. Signs of stalking. I know now that it seems like schools are more in tune with, you know, outcast or things because of all that's changed in schools and shootings over the last several decades. People need to have safeguard against stalking, even if it's just BS. It's like bomb scares. We take those serious.
Yeah.
You know, you don't do it, but the minute one happens, you've got to honor it because you just don't know. And I'm not saying that didn't happen here. I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but I think anytime you have a, hey, we have a situation here, like you got to go into like lock it down mode. That's how I think, because there's no, there's really no reasoning with someone at that point, as we just talked about. So I think you've got to really start to build in, you know, like you said, you can't just wander up to some place that you shouldn't be because we're all on the honor system. I think we're going to have to start locking things up more. Cameras are more relevant and locks, and just start to button things up more for the safety of the staff, surgeons, whomever, because I'm not in that type of profession. But Sal, I'll tell you, if I had a stalker, that would be a creepy thing. We don't even know if Dr. Mock knew about it and was just like on his conscience, like, I know Larry's upset. And even if you know you have somebody stalking you, who's intervening? It's a scary situation. I don't even know. I don't even have answers. But I'm just, you know, I think more should be done.
Well, because we don't have a definitive motive yet, I think when you don't have a clear-cut motive, the default is, well, serial killing is a category, but you just say mental health. Mental health. If there's no motive, why did they kill? What was the purpose of it for them? Was it revenge? Yeah, we don't have that information.
We don't. And that's unfortunate. We looked, we couldn't find it, but I was in enough to want to do this episode. I'm still interested in it, want to honor Dr. Benjamin Mock. And here's someone who's an elbow, hand, and wrist surgeon, a highly regarded, prominent one at that. And this is a patient. So obviously he comes to him for one of these things. We don't know. Is he an athlete? Is he someone who's still feeling pain? We don't know. I'm just making some assumptions here. You know, it's like not happy with the bill. We could speculate all day long. We don't have that information. Hopefully more comes to light. But what we do have are some really glowing words of love for Dr. Mock himself. And I'll let you read these. I'll cue them up for you. The first one is another patient that was of Dr. Mock's. It was Josh Jacobs who had this to say.
Praying for Dr. Benjamin Mock's friends, family, and coworkers, wishing them all peace. He was the hand surgeon who found my cancer and performed my amputation. I give him partial credit for possibly saving my life. The work he did for me was amazing. This is very sad news to hear.
Yeah, here is a guy that had his life possibly saved. I say, let's just give him full credit, right? Let's just give Dr. Mock full credit. But here's a guy that's honoring him forever. He's devastated, right? And his family. And yeah, that's just, I mean, it's beautiful to know that Mock touched so many people, helped people. Amazing that I hadn't read that quote yet. That's just beautiful. Here's another one. Christina Austin, a former schoolmate of Dr. Mock's.
Dr. Mock was remembered as a phenomenal doctor. Many of his patients, who lauded him as kind, funny, and smart, said he saved their lives with his vital work.
I don't know what could be said that could top something like that. I mean, this was definitely a special person in a specialized field. Yep. And you know what, Jason, whenever I've entertained throughout my life, going into medicine, you know, you may, fantasize about things. The level of responsibility that a physician has, and then look, hypothetically, someone blames you. I mean, we don't know all the details, but if someone blames you for something that went wrong, that could have been out of your hands. Maybe it wasn't your fault. Something goes wrong. Mm-hmm. You are held accountable for something that was completely out of your hands just based on the person's physical condition. It's not like you necessarily were negligent. It's just things can go wrong. Things can happen. Your body can reject things, you know? So definitely it's a level of responsibility I would never want to find myself in. So really, I got to hand it to all these physicians out there.
Absolutely. I mean, obviously, Dr. Mock was driven to help others. Has a track record of that. And sometimes you help the wrong person and they're not satisfied and it escalates. And then this can happen. This happens. Stalking, fatally shooting. There's more to find out as this plays out because we don't know much more about Larry, but obviously there's going to be a case. This was not a murder-suicide, as I talked about, which might have made some sense, but it's like, what were they thinking? They've got justice in their own mind. We'll get to that in a second, where the things are at in this case. But Dr. Mock leaves behind his wife, Rihanna Mock, and their two young children. And the investigation is ongoing, and updates are expected. So I know we say this a lot, and especially episodes like this that are limited on information. We'll watch, do a Google alert, come back with an update as we have one. And I know we kind of have something here about Larry, but anything else you want to chime in on Mock's family and kids or anything else before we segue to Larry again?
No, I think the only thing that's on my mind as we talk about this is the why.
Yeah.
We want to make sense of it. You know, not that it doesn't justify it, but at least your brain can wrap around a why. At this moment in time, we have no idea why. Why Dr. Mock? We don't know.
Well, we may never know. We may never know. As for Larry Pickens, he has been charged with first-degree murder and aggravated assault. His bail was set at $1.2 million, Sal, and he is scheduled to appear in court again on October 24th, which is coming up in just less than 2 weeks. So there could lead to more intel, what really happened, why, like you said, the why behind this. But you'll never get Dr. Mock back, and rest in peace, Benjamin Mock. I hope other people come forward and share their wonderful stories. He's touched a lot of lives and unfortunately, you know, went out in a very horrific and unnecessary way.
Yeah, rest in peace, Dr. Mock. And Jason, mark my words, I think this is going to be an insanity plea. I think this is going to be written off as a mental health issue, especially if Larry Pickens doesn't have a history of assault. He doesn't have a history of murder. If this was just a one-off for him, we have to look at his priors and all that. But if we circle back around on this, I bet you it's going to be an insanity plea, and maybe he'll get 10 years off after 15. We'll see.
Yeah, you're probably right, Sal. And that covers the true crime story of the patient stalks and fatally shoots surgeon in 2023. Before we sign off, Sal, we started this last episode, something we talked about before, and I like it, and we're going to do it again. And that is spotlighting a crime from our library.
Yeah.
Just to remind people, like, you don't just do an episode, put it out there, and move on and forget about it completely. It's still living. It still works. It's just in our library. And if you don't listen to every single episode or you've forgotten or whatever, this is a chance for us to highlight one, go back and enjoy it. And Sal, what do we pick out today?
Jason, I think if you were to speak to any songwriter, any musician, you would say to them, what is your favorite song? Give me your five favorite songs of your career. And I bet you they could tell you. I bet you they could.
Yep.
So Similarly, what's one of my personal favorites from the That's a Crime Library, episode 41, Rosie Ruiz, Boston Marathon Cheater. I love the idea of cheating in a sporting event. I mean, I hope that everything gets rectified. I hope the winner is really labeled the winner. But in the meantime, I'm reminded of the Little Rascals, our gang, when they wanted to get into the movie theater and they would have one on top of the other with a long coat. It's just classic. Such silly trickery. And I think something like this, cheating on a marathon event, falls under that silly trickery category. So my pick for what I would love to have all of our listeners go back and give another second listen to or a first listen to, episode 41, Rosie Ruiz.
Rosie Ruiz, Boston Marathon Cheater, 1980. So it's a classic.
Classic.
It's almost in the 70s, you know, early 80s. This was a very memorable episode indeed. We recorded this July 15th, 2022. I remember it vividly. I was still living in Massachusetts, not too far from where this thing took place. And the Boston Marathon's very renowned, as you know, of the two of us. And I'm also a big athlete, but I was not like a long distance runner beyond a mile. Between the two of us, you have run in actual marathons, half marathons. And we brought that to the episode. It was very enjoyable.
Yeah.
And in fact, you told me a story.
What?
You shared a story that you and your brother entered a marathon later and just kind of jumped in, right?
Well, you know, the thing about these marathons, you know, speaking of security, right? Anybody could just jump into a marathon.
Yeah.
Luckily, we had the bib numbers. We did purchase our tickets. Yeah. We had the bibs. But instead of starting at the start line, we decided to just run half of the event. So we
half a marathon.
Yeah, we jumped into the LA Marathon, which is a full marathon, at the halfway point, which I believe was near USC, University of Southern California, jumped in there and then ran to the end. Now, when we got to the end, I did take the ceremonial medal. My brother refused the medal. He refused the medal.
He's a firefighter.
Well, he's like, well, I didn't run the full marathon. But I'm like, hey, I paid for my bib. Yeah. I ran half. I want the medal. So I took the medal. My brother, a little more honorable than me, maybe.
And you said, I'm doing a Rosie. I'm pulling a Rosie Ruiz. I just jumped in. You also, Sal, weren't trying to trick anybody. You're just doing it like, hey, we're here. We can't do the full 26, whatever it is. Let's do half. You're not like trying to become the winner, beat the Kenyans. Well, you're not trying to do that.
No, Jason, the thing of it is, anybody that would try to replicate a Rosie Ruiz or do a Rosie today.
Never worked now.
No, there's a lot of tech involved today that was not around in 1980. Yeah. So good luck to anybody that would try to perpetrate a similar crime today.
Well, if you go back and listen to this episode and watch a video about her, it doesn't take an astute eye to figure out something's not adding up.
Yeah.
And there were sportscasters at the time saying, this is not right. You don't just go from running this incredible runtime and then she couldn't even answer basic questions. But it's a great thing. We delve into her, what happened after this big scam. And it was a big deal. This is a different time. And it probably changed, like you said, technology, but it probably even changed by the next year, 81, that you really couldn't pull a Rosie, even in 81 without all the tech. Yeah. People were more alert. Hey, people are going to cheat. We've got to lock this down because they did declare the wrong winner and she wore the crown. And in fact, I think she wouldn't give the crown back. So dive into this. So much fun. It really is. This is the lighter side of us. I mean, it still impacts people. I'm not laughing at it completely, but compared to the murders, this is more on the lighter side. And very enjoyable. Good choice, Sal. Very good choice indeed. So we'll come back with more crimes, some heavier, some lighter, but all entertaining. So thank you so much for listening, and please be sure to subscribe to the That's a Crime podcast and the That's a Crime YouTube live channel. You can also really help us by giving the show a 5-star rating on Apple Podcast.
And for all you listeners that enjoy sharing your thoughts, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, send us a direct message, or post a comment on any That's a Crime social media platform.
We also highly recommend checking out our other podcast and visiting justcuriousmedia.com.